Morning. Thank you for being here. We do have some visitors. You're an honored guest, and we're thankful for your presence this morning. I want to make haste to tell you that I'm not the regular preacher. And so our regular preacher's on the back row back there. He had a terrible accident and broke his leg. He's on the mend, and I hear rumors he'll be back soon. We'll talk this morning from Philippians, the first chapter, if you want to follow along in your Bibles. We're going to concentrate on like four verses. It's funny what your subconscious will do, because this lesson, as it turned out, will overlap a little bit with what we're studying in our adult Bible class on love. But that's okay. Repetition is how most of us learn. And so here we go. Hey, it worked. Things that are excellent. And I'm going to start off in Philippians 1 through 8, and then we're going to concentrate on 9 through 11 for the bulk of our sermon this morning. Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons. Want to make sure everyone was included. Grace to you, verse 2 says, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Verse 4, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense of and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. Now, that's the New American Standard Version. You're reading along from another version, it might be a word or two different here or there. And so Paul has a great affection for the congregation, the members, the overseers, the deacons in the church at Philippi, which he, along with some of his fellow laborers, established on one of his missionary journeys. But consider what he said to them. He said to all the saints, to all of them, and he had joy in his heart for them and love in his heart for them, even the leadership of the congregation, their participation in the gospel. They weren't bystanders. They were players on the field, using a sports terminology. They were in the game, so to speak. He had a joyful remembrance of them, because they were working for God in the gospel. Paul had them in his heart. They were partakers of grace with him. He had a closeness with him. If you worked side by side with someone, especially in the gospel, but even in a secular job, and you complimented one another, and you had equal amount of energy and stamina and expertise, it's a joyful thing, especially in the laboring with the Word of God and bringing souls to Christ. And then in verse 9, Paul begins a short prayer for them. And that's what we will concentrate on in this sermon, this short prayer. And this is it for First Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. He said, after he gave them all those compliments and expressed his love for them and his admiration for them, he says, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Have you been fulfilled with the fruit of righteousness? Or have been filled, rather, with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You know, this lesson is not for those who believe that have already become spiritually full, but rather for those of us who continue to have a good spiritual appetite and have a desire for truth and righteousness and grow in the knowledge and the grace and of Jesus Christ. And so we never will become all that, so to speak, in the body of Christ. We never will have arrived in the body of Christ. A lifetime of learning, a lifetime of work and labor, a lifetime of cooperating with the brethren, a lifetime of being an example to folks, and it never ends. We're never through. And that's one of the things that he told them in verse 9, that your love may abound more and more, and may abound more and more. Let's look at some of that. He says that your love may abound. Love is something that can always abound, always increase. We've never arrived there, so to speak. And we talked about love in the Bible class this morning. God is love, 1 John 4 and verse 16, which we've studied. We know of the love of God because he sent his son. God didn't have to do that. God destroyed the world one time. He can do it again. But he didn't. He sent his son. He loved us. He loved his creation. We know the love of God, of the love of Jesus because he was willing to go to the cross. And it was a terrible thing. And he endured it because of his love for us. And that is the model. Jesus' love is the model that we must have. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, let's look over there. I don't have it on the screen. Matthew 5, verses 43 through 46. You have all heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Oh, there it is. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It's kind of a dichotomy, isn't it? So that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. And so, you have heard that it was said, you'll love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's the way of man. That's the way of mankind's nature. But I say, changing the default way that we might have lived our lives, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father. Otherwise, we can't. And we'll talk about that a little bit more, but the people who hate your enemy can't be children of God. It's a non-compatible way to live. Verse, for he causes his son to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We see that every day. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? That's easy. Your family, your good friends, your those who love you, it's returning the love. That's just human nature. Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And so he's making a point that we don't take the easy way out here. God doesn't provide an easy way for us. We have to do work, and love your enemy is the command. To say that we have already attained the highest level of love, I'm there, I've arrived, is to say we become equal with God, and we haven't. And we cannot do that. So we must endeavor to always increase in love, abound still more and more, is what the way Paul put it. This will be ongoing for the rest of our earthly life. We will never have arrived. Paul prayed that our love may abound still more and more. Let's look. But the love that is of God is not one of carnal feelings. It's not one that is based upon or driven by carnal desires. God is a spirit, John 4, 24. Therefore, the love that is from God is one of a spiritual, not carnal origin. And we, We are carnal people by nature, and so we have to make ourselves, teach ourselves, practice, and excel at being spiritual. So long as we live according to the flesh, which is the natural way of things, we will never be able to fully understand God's love. Nor will we be able to abound in it. We cannot abound in the love through human wisdom, for what human wisdom would teach us to love our enemies? None. We cannot abound in his love through fleshly desire, for what fleshly desire would motivate us to seek a kingdom that we cannot see, hear, or feel? None. We cannot abound in this love through the pride or boastfulness, for how can the proud make themselves a servant? No, that doesn't happen. How can we come to understand the love of God which surpasses all knowledge? How can we figure that out? Well, God provides a way, and through the knowledge and the teaching of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what we focus on. We have all the education and colleges and schools and smart people of this world who would want to lead you a different way. But only through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And where do we get that? It's through the revealed will, of course. And so real knowledge and all discernment, not worldly knowledge, not worldly discernment, but real knowledge and all discernment. The love that Paul prayed for is one that can only come about through spiritual growth, which God reveals in his word. This prayer that Paul expressed in several of his letters in Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 14 through 19. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." And how do we get faith? By the word of God. "And that you, being rooted and grounded in love," may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Verse 19, "And to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all with the fullness of God." Some similar wording there. Paul wants us to have this knowledge. And how do we get it? Through faith and certainly the Word of God. This discernment means perception, both by the senses and by the intellect. And so we can't trust our intellect if it's worldly. We have to, as we talked in the class this morning, it has to be trained, it has to be educated, it has to be guided. The words Paul uses express the highest and deepest form of knowledge. Knowledge of the expert. Knowledge of the seasoned and the experienced. You know, we have some musicians in our congregation, and they didn't wake up one day and say, "I'm a seasoned, I'm an experienced musician." It took years and years and years of practice and being tutored and instructed and more practice. We have some folks in the congregation who are fantastic woodworkers. Same thing. They didn't wake up one day and be a fantastic woodworker. It took labor over and over and making mistakes and throwing stuff away that didn't look very good until they got to a point where they really were accomplished, were seasoned, were experienced. We understand that normally in the world. I'm by trade an IT guy. You know, at first, you know, it's all kind of book learning, and then you find the practical applications for that as you go forward. It's the difference between knowledge that is gained by a student who learns it fresh in the classroom and an expert who has been using it in the field for many years. That's the difference that we're talking about here. Love cannot exist without precise knowledge. And not the knowledge of a novice, but the knowledge of a seasoned and experienced person who's been using it. It cannot exist in one who studies, but does not live it. It cannot live in the one who affirms the truth but does not apply it. It can only exist in those who have had to suffer at the hands of their enemies, sacrifice themselves for their neighbors, humble themselves while helping a brother or sister out of sin. And then, we may be ready to work in the kingdom of God for sure. This is a love that only increases as you put knowledge and discernment to use in our lives. Applied knowledge, not just knowledge, but applied knowledge. We use it on ourselves. We use it with our family. We use it with our acquaintances. Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have had their senses trained to discern good and evil, to apply God's word to the various circumstances that you find yourself in and others you're helping find themselves in. Real knowledge, all discernment. Verse 10, so that you may approve the things that are excellent. Chose that as a title for the sermon. I like that. Things that are excellent. Not things that are medium, mediocre, not okay things. We're talking about excellent things, things of God, things that will help us get to heaven. The end result of abounding in love is our approval of all things excellent. We're able to discern more. We're able to understand circumstances. We're able to apply the word. Where knowledge is lacking, also lacking is the approval of excellent things. So a novice musician is not able to play the complicated concerts that an accomplished musician can play. The novice woodworker is gonna still mess up some wood and have to throw things away, and what's built might not look all that great, as opposed to an accomplished woodworker. We understand those things. In God's kingdom, it's the same thing. We have to work and work and work and work to be accomplished. It's never over. So where knowledge is lacking, also lacking is the approval of excellent things. We will continue to base our decision upon worldly things, even as a novice, because we're not understanding the breadth and the depth of God's love. Ignorance of God's word and his love will affect how we choose to spend our time, effort, our money, those kind of things, because our conscience hadn't been fully trained, where our intellect is still marred by worldly things as a novice. So we have to move off the novice board and go to a higher level of understanding, and that's with hard work. It will affect the number of things and the type of things we allow to interfere with our service to God. If we're not moving up, to the accomplished or the seasoned or the experienced level with God's word, then we'll make those mistakes. And we all make them as we move up into a higher level of understanding. Where this love is lacking, we will approve things that are not good and reject things that are good. We'll make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. You learn from them and you go forward. Verse 10 wants us to use God's word to examine everything in our life. Approve those things that are excellent. Not those things that are evil. Not those things that are lacking. Not those things that are just mediocre. Excellent. Verse 10 wants us to use God's words to examine everything in our lives closely and distinguish between those things which are excellent and those things which are not. And the only way we understand that is through God's Word and becoming a seasoned, experienced, and proficient in God's Word. And we're not born that way, just like the musician, just like the woodworker. We have to work at it and make mistakes along the way and move forward from them. Only the mature, the spiritual meat eaters, if you will, the spiritually minded can discern the things that are excellent and repeat that over and over and over in their lives and with their family and with their acquaintances and among the congregation and make the distinction necessary to be truly pleasing to God. So we can't remain a babe in Christ forever. It won't work. You know, Paul, he said that sometimes people just want milk and milk and milk and milk. But that's not the natural way of things. And it's not the way of things in the Lord's body as well. We have to go away from the milk and go to meat. Hence the term, we need to be meat eaters. The more seasoned we'll be able to digest even more difficult passages and understand God's will for us and God's love for us. And this is the goal which all children of God, including babes in Christ, should aspire. Everyone was a babe in Christ at some time, but you move off of that as quickly as you can. But how does that relate to love? Allow Jesus to answer that question. Let's look at John, the 14th chapter. A few verses there, and then to go to Matthew. John 14, the first verse is verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. We quote that over and over and over again, but sometimes it just become kind of a flippant thing. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love God, keep my commandments is more than sometimes we give it credit for. It's understanding God's will for us. It's applying it in yes, no, do or don't do situations, maybe tens and tens of tens and times a day. In verse 21 of John chapter 14. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. That's how love comes in. We don't love God unless we keep his commandments. And he who has my commandments, has them, and keeps them, loves me. Jesus says, and down in verses 23 and 24, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Talking about abiding. Talked about that some this morning in adult Bible class. Abiding in God and God abiding in us. Verse 23, let's look at it again. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. That's how Christ and the Father abides in us. Verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. By definition, if you don't keep his words, you don't love him. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. And so, chapter 15 and verse 14, if you want to look a couple of more. You are my friends if you do what I command you. You'll be a friend. I'll be a friend to Jesus. We sing the song sometimes. Then you'll, if you're serious about it, then you'll keep his commandments. And then in Matthew, the 7th chapter, last one, verse 21. Not everyone says to me, Lord, Lord, we enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. This is not I believe in you, so take me. It's a demonstrate it. It's learn it. It's apply it. It's learn some more. Demonstrate it. Apply it. It's learn more your whole life. so that you may approve things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless. That's the goal, right? To be sincere and blameless before God until the day of Christ. Sincerity here means to go deeper than simply going through the motions. Many Christians from time to time have felt the repetitiveness of regular worship. It's a human nature. But those whose love abounds in knowledge, continually reach into the things of God with deeper understanding, more appreciation for their regular worship. See, for these people, these experienced, seasoned Christians, it's a joy, it's love, it's not drudgery. If it's drudgery for us, we need to do some self-examination. Such as the one that is not content to simply go through the motions, but be sincere when offering up praises to God, and who truly mean it in their hearts when they say amen to a prayer or in a sermon. Three, who are actively looking to do good in their lives. You know, Doug talked about he packed up his chainsaw and went and cut people's trees up that are on their house or on their property that when the tornado came. Have chainsaw, will travel kind of thing. I guess he was looking for people who needed help. And he found a plenty, I'm sure. Actively looking to do good in their lives. Not just sitting back and saying, be ye warmed and filled. Right? Those who abound in love will continue the increase of knowledge and have no room for blame. You will increase knowledge. You will sin less. You will understand more. It'll be richer for you. You love God more. God will abide in you. It all works. The same truth in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 11. I'll just do verse 10 right here. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Not that you can't stumble, but you will be seasoned. You will be experienced. You will have applied the knowledge. And so, as opposed to the novice woodworker, the seasoned and experienced woodworker is not throwing away stuff all the time. They've made those mistakes. Now they're turning out things that look good every time. Same with us as Christians. Be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never stumble, because you will your conscience will be trained. You will examine opportunities, in quotes, and decide whether you should engage in those kind of things or not. And you'll be blameless, because you will be seasoned. This is our aim. This is the effect of the love of God we have in our lives if we are abounding in it, in order to be sincere and blameless. But it requires great devotion on our part. It requires great effort and great sacrifice. You won't be able to do other things that your folks that you are acquaintance with or are not members of the church, they do. You won't have time for that. You'll be working for God. Is that the goal in life that you set? Or are you using, well, it's my time, I'm going to use it for what I want, not what God wants. And so this will be the result if we apply the things we have discussed thus far. Filled with the fruit of righteousness, verse 11, which comes through Christ, Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. When one is abounding more and more in love, which leads you to being filled with full knowledge and discernment, then you are sincere and void of offense. You will naturally be filled with the fruit of righteousness. For every good tree bears fruit. Matthew 7, verse 17. Are you a tree that bears fruit? Are you a tree that takes the nutrients out of the ground and the water out of the when it falls this rain and you don't really give back anything? And so we will be fruit-bearing trees. We will be meat eaters. We will be blameless. These things can only come through Jesus Christ. 1 John 5, verse 15. Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no righteousness. Apart from His Word, there is no understanding of true love. Therefore, no righteous fruit if we're not in His Word. The glory of God should be the highest goal in our life. It must be the purpose for our living. And so, what is your aim in life? Are you bearing a fruit-bearing tree for Jesus? Or are you barren of fruit? If your goal is heaven, then you have to be a fruit-bearing tree. You have to be a seasoned, experienced meat eater, if you will. And if you're not, you have to be on the road to get there. You can't stay a babe in Christ only with the milk of the Word forever. You have to move forward. If we can help you in any way, we would love to do that. Let me get over here to the song service. And Don will come up here and lead us in a song. If we can help you in any way as we move along in our lives headed to heaven, and if you need to help today, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Jesus, I surrender all to Him I freely.